Well, I'm thankful that the Lord will always prove faithful. He always has. He is faithful, and He always will be. And it's in the faithfulness of the Lord that we depend upon and need the Lord's help this morning. I ask that you'd pray with us, the Lord would bless His word to our hearts and make it profitable. I'd like to begin in the book of Revelation. Feel like the Lord's given me a little message to share with you this morning about the marriage of the Lamb, or the marriage supper. Revelation chapter 19. Begin with the fifth verse, 19:5 of Revelation. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, "Praise our God, all ye His servants, and ye that fear Him, both small and great." And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thunderings, saying, "Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to Him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and the wife hath made herself ready." This view is one that is around the throne of God. Around that throne, it talks about there being seated 24 elders, representative of the people of God throughout time. The church of God from Old Testament dispensation to present period, seated around the throne, those who are faithful to God, those who are assembled and gathered around the throne. And I want us to realize that as John got a glimpse into this realm, he heard a sound, he heard a voice, not just a voice, but he heard a multitude of voices. And I believe it says here that they were all singing the same song. There wasn't one off singing this song and someone else singing another song in discord or harmony, but there was as one voice, as the voice of many waters flowing together and hearts melted together, singing alleluia. Hallelujah unto our God. For the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice. You know there is gladness in heaven. There is rejoicing in heaven. Well, that's all it is. There's not sorrow. There's not sadness. There's no weeping. There's no pain. There's no aching of the heart at saying goodbye. All is peace forevermore on that happy golden shore. What a day. Glorious day that will be. So he said, let us be glad and let us rejoice. Well, what was this rejoicing about? The scripture said, you remember when it says the angels rejoice? There is joy in the presence of the angels over one sinner that is saved. There is rejoicing. All of heaven brings to bear on this work of salvation. They're all invested in this work of salvation. There is a cloud of witnesses that have gone before us and been true and faithful to God. And I don't know how you see it in your mind's eye, but it's almost like they're standing and they're invested in my salvation. I'm part of the family. The scripture says, of whom the whole family in heaven and in earth is named. Oh, thank the Lord we can be part of that family. And there are those in that cloud of witnesses that have gone on before, gathered around the throne, singing praises unto our God. And oh, they're a cloud of witnesses to me in my mind's eye, cheering, beckoning on. Be faithful. Be faithful to the end. It'll be worth it. Hold on. I know they're not interceding on our behalf as Jesus is. There's one intercessor. But as I think about this cloud of witnesses gathered around the throne, singing the praises of God and saying, let us be glad and rejoice. Will they rejoice? They did when I got saved. They did when you got saved. Oh, I'd like to hear that. I'd like to hear that prayer meeting. I'd like to hear that sound of rejoicing whenever a sinner gets saved. But this says, let us be glad and rejoice for a specific reason. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and His wife hath made herself ready. I've seen before, and perhaps you have as well, whenever there is a NASA launch or a NASA mission of some kind that's either maybe it's a launch of a space shuttle, or it's as this spacecraft was approaching the asteroid a few weeks ago. Have you ever seen the control center? They have the cameras, they turn on the control center, and people all around at their desk and at their computers and monitoring things and checking monitors and screens. Is everything going as planned? And there is a countdown clock, a countdown timer to the time of launch or to the time of the expected event. And I've seen, as I've watched those scenes and these kind of events, I've seen as the time gets closer and closer, there's more and more of an apprehension building in the room. And you can see it. And pretty soon as it gets closer, maybe a few minutes away, they're not able to keep their seats anymore. They're standing up in intention and anticipation. It's almost here. This moment that we've been planning for and waiting for, and everything coming down to this moment. This is it. And everybody gathers, and you can see it's like they're just holding their breath. Holding their breath. It's almost. It's almost. And then they're counting down 9, 8, 7. And holding their breath in anticipation. Their eyes glued on the screen or glued on whatever it is that they're watching. It's almost here. Well, the Bible says that no man, not even the angels in heaven or the Son of Man, knows the day or the hour. But they know that the clock is ticking down. And even the devil knows that his time is short. I believe the hosts of heaven feel this anticipation. And I believe it's what we're reading here as they're gathered around the throne and they're rejoicing together saying, the marriage of the Lamb is come. It's time. The time is drawing close. We can feel it. We know that it is. If we are to discern the signs of the times, surely the angels have the ability to understand the signs of the time and know that that day is approaching closer and closer, perhaps closer than any of us could even imagine. But it doesn't bring fear and apprehension and gasp. And no, it's a time of rejoicing because this is the moment. This is what it's all been about from the start. And folks, it'll be that way in our lives. All of these things throughout our lives will blur in the background to this one moment that it comes down to, the marriage of the Lamb. Now the call has come and I'm standing before God. This is what it's all about. Oh Lord, help us to keep a focus on what it's all about. To be able to understand and anticipate as I believe the angels are. Oh, that day's drawing closer. The coming of my Savior is drawing closer. So with anticipation, with joy, with rejoicing, you think the angels would be rejoicing if it was something that Jesus and the Father didn't find it something to rejoice about? Well, it's just something that has to be. It's a dreadful day, and a dreadful day it will be. For everyone that's not ready for the marriage of the Lamb. But this is a joyful day. I remember whenever my bride-to-be was 700 miles away from me in Louisiana. You think I wasn't counting down the days and the hours? Almost here, anticipation and excitement and somehow butterflies getting up inside of me. It's almost here. And then the day of. And then standing up front like this. And I, I see a little motion between the crack of the door back there, and I say, that's her. It's time. It's here. This is the moment that we've been waiting for. And you know, that's what it is to be for the child of God. Not a thing of dread, not a thing of fear, but all is getting closer. And Jesus said that people's hearts will be failing them for fear. They'll be seeing all these things that are coming to pass on the earth. And all of the tumult and the trouble and people's heart failing them. But when you see these things coming, lift up your head, for your redemption draweth nigh. Your bridegroom is almost here for you. And what a thing of joy and hope and comfort that is for us. Oh, think about those angels a little bit more. The anticipation within the angels. They are interested in our salvation. They are interested in the events. They serve at the pleasure of the Father, the host of heaven. They are invested in this entire plan of salvation and the culmination of it. There's a scripture that says in 1 Peter, the first chapter, which things, speaking about the mysteries of the gospel, which things the angels desire to look into. There's one of these scenes in Revelation, for the sake of time, we won't read it, but it said that they sang the song of the redeemed. You know who it was saying? It wasn't the angels around the throne in that instance. It was those who had been redeemed. It was those who had been born again of the saints of God who sang the song of the redeemed. The angels haven't been redeemed. They haven't been in sin and been redeemed out of sin. And there is, like the scripture seems to bear out, an intense awe at the marvelous plan of God. And what God is able to do through this plan of salvation. Oh, how He can take a dirty old corrupted sinner and take that old blackened, shriveled up heart and make it new again. The angels desire to look into that and see more about that in awe and reverence of God. Folks, we have something special. We have something wonderful to cherish. I believe just like my heart was yearning for that time that I could see my bride, I believe that our bridegroom, Jesus Christ, His heart is the same. I believe His heart is yearning to be able to call His bride home. It's yearning to be able to summon and call His children to be with Him. Let's read James chapter 5. James, the 5th chapter. And the 7th verse, be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Now, we already talked about the anticipation that is in heaven, the rejoicing that is in heaven. I believe there is to be an anticipation on our hearts as well. Not, as has already been mentioned, a dread or a sense of fear or a standoffishness from it, but I believe an anticipation of that day. And James says here, be patient therefore. Well, when do you have to tell someone to be patient? Whenever they're just longing to do something. Whenever maybe you see a child, they're just fidgeting. And they just want so bad. They're just saying, be patient. Be patient. Your time will come. It's almost here. You ever feel that longing inside of your heart? Maybe you say goodbye to a brother or sister in the Lord, and what a testimony they left, and imagining what it is that they're experiencing. And I feel a twitch of homesickness. And I say, I want that. I want to feel that as well. Be patient. Be patient. Your time is coming. But right now, be patient, therefore. Brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth for the precious fruit of the earth, and hath long patience for it, until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient, Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. Oh, thank the Lord. Be patient. It's okay. It's like a comforting or a reassurance to say, I know that you're longing for this. I know that you want to be with the Lord. But be patient. Your thing to do right now is to establish your hearts. Get it fixed. Get it settled where it's unmovable. The day is coming. The Lord is hastening His coming. He'll be here soon. Meanwhile, be patient. Be steadfast, waiting for the Lord. Oh, given to a people who are anticipating, who are longing. Paul, I believe, even said in one place when he said, I'm now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I don't know if he wrote that through eyes filled with tears or not, but if they were, I think they were tears of joy. He said in another place, I'm in a strait betwixt two. I'm in a tough place here. I know that you need me here. I know that there's still something that I have a duty to here, and I feel that. But oh, I want to go be with the Lord. That's where my heart is. I got a piece of heaven in my heart. And I want to go. I want to go and be part of that. I'm ready to be with the Lord. I'm ready to move beyond this veil of tears and behold face to face my Savior. I'm ready. The time of my departure is at hand. And He said, henceforth now, there is a crown laid up for me. And not for me only. Not just because I'm someone special, but unto all those who what? All those who love His appearing. All those whose heart is for the things of God. Who have set their affections on things above and not on things on the earth. That whenever they see that day approaching, it's not the sorrow of heart saying goodbye to the job and the cars and the houses and all of that. But it is an anticipation building in my spirit. Oh Lord, there's something better. And there's something inside of me. There is an earnest of our inheritance, which is the Holy Spirit dwelling in my heart. And there's something it's like magnetism. That as His Spirit is dwelling, there's something that's drawing me towards that day, towards heaven. He said, Paul said, we do groan in this tabernacle, in this body. We groan desiring to be clothed with from above. Desiring to have that house not made with hands. There is a groaning, a longing of our spirit to go and to be with the Lord. Oh, Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5. Therefore, in the 6th verse, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather, if I had my druthers, to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. Oh, I know that while I'm still here, yes, I have the fellowship of the Spirit and I have communion with my Lord and Savior. But I want to go and be with Him. And a longing for that. I am so thankful for this great day and great invitation. Let's turn back to Revelation now, back to the 19th chapter. The marriage of the Lamb has come, and His wife hath made herself ready. Oh, in Bible times, and there was, as we are familiar with it, at custom of betrothal that preceded the time of marriage, in some senses similar to our engagement, but more binding. And in that space of time, it would have been cause of great shame and great reproach to conceive a child. And so it was that Joseph was mindful of that in their period of betrothal. Because that was a time where you are covenanted unto one another. You've made a solemn agreement unto one another to be joined together in holy matrimony. But that time of consummation has not yet taken place. So you keep yourself. You keep yourself pure. You keep yourself from defilement. Revelation talks about the great harlot, false religion. Oh, then our charge and our responsibility as we are in this betrothal period. It's a beautiful picture to me. Jesus came and He redeemed us unto Himself. Oh, Lord, help us. So many scriptures that we could try to get. It said in one place that Jesus loved us and gave Himself for the church, that He might present it unto Himself as a chaste bride. Oh, that's His heart's desire. He came and redeemed us from sin, and He made a covenant with us. The earnest of that covenant is the Holy Spirit that He sent unto us, reassuring us and reminding us and comforting us that I will return. He said, let not your hearts be troubled, neither be afraid. You believe in God, believe also in Me. In My Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there ye may be also. But the time's not here yet. I want to reassure you. I want to promise you. I'm not going to stand you up. I will return again and receive you unto Myself. Paul said in one place that he feared lest Satan should be able to beguile from the simplicity of the gospel. He said, I have betrothed you as a chaste virgin unto Christ. I have brought you into an introduction to Christ, into a relationship with Him, into a betrothal that happened as part of that. And oh, I want you to remain chaste. I don't want you to be polluted by the harlot of false religion. I don't want you to be polluted by those kind of opportunities for defilement that are all throughout the world, and paganism and worldliness. Keep yourself, keep your hearts, keep your love for the Lord, because the day is coming that the Lord is coming back for His bride, a chaste virgin. And so it was in that period of betrothal that spanned for a space of time when the bridegroom was making preparations for his bride. And the bride likewise in her home was making preparations for his appearing. That one night the bridegroom would come accompanied with his friends, and the cry would go forth with joy. As part of this wedding procession, behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet Him. And it was the cue. It was the time for the bride to gather herself up. No time now to prepare and get ready and get dressed. You've got to be ready. And from that comes the parable Jesus gave us of the five wise and the five foolish. But oh, what a day that'll be. The marriage of the Lamb. She made herself ready, and to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And He saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. Oh, blessed are they which are called. How happy are they that can be a partaker in this great event, the marriage supper of the Lamb. And He saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God. This isn't imagination. It's not the figment of someone's imagination. This is true. This is real. As we are here today, the time is coming. The bridegroom cometh. That time is quickly approaching that He'll say, go ye out to meet Him. And what a day that'll be. Whenever we're able, I believe Jesus said in one place, then shall they be gathered from the east and the west and all different nations, and shall be seated together with Abraham and the fathers that are... Oh, what a company. What a company to join at a meal. I love having breaking bread with you all. You're special to me. But I'm going to tell you, sitting down with those brothers, I had a meal, I think it was, with a congressman one time, and that seems special, but it's nothing compared to Hey, Brother Abraham, Brother Daniel, can I be part of this number to sit with you? I'm going to tell you, even if it was having to eat locusts and honey with John the Baptist, I'd say count me in. But I don't believe it's going to be just about a literal feasting. I believe it's a spiritual language of being able to come and just in a relaxed spirit one by another. We're part of the same family. We're bound together by the same spirit and can be able to sit and commune and enjoy that while the ages roll. And think of the picture that we have of Jesus who said, "I stand at the door and knock." Do you know why? His desire was to come in and sup with Him. I want you to be able to be a partaker of this fellowship, this communion that we taste of here, but we see through a veil darkly, glass darkly. The time's coming, if we'll be true and faithful to the Lord, that He'll call us home, He'll summon us, and we'll be able to sit at that great banquet table and enjoy the feasting and the celebration of the marriage of the Lamb when comes the consummation, the highlight of it all, of this whole process of the Lord wooing us and drawing us and calling us and working with us. And now the moment has come. The time has come. I'd like to turn now to the book of Luke. I'd like to take what we've considered and get a little different, maybe, angle on it now. Luke, the 14th chapter. Luke 14:15 of Luke. "And when one of them that sat at meat with him heard these things, he said unto him, Blessed is he that shall eat bread in the kingdom of God. Then said he unto him, A certain man made a great supper, and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, Come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I've bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen. I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So that servant came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor, and the maimed, and the halt, and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. Oh, thank the Lord, there is still room. Thank the Lord, there are still open places. There's not a set 144,000, and it's our no more reservations. It's full, booked. Thank the Lord, there is yet room. He came, John said, he came unto his own. He came unto the Jewish nation. But his own didn't receive him. And so to as many as did receive him, to them gave he power and the privilege to be the sons of God, to be partakers of this wedding feast whenever they went out. And they all had legitimate excuses. All had reasons, earthly reasons why it's not convenient. Why I can't do it right now. Maybe later. Oh, it shows that in this life we're going to have to make some priority calls. In this life we're going to have to set it as most important. Yes, I have this legitimate excuse and I have this legitimate thing over here, but Lord, you are fairer than them all and I want to be a partaker. Amen. So he went out away from those who he had summoned, who turned their back on him and rejected him. And he said, go out and compel. And you know that has been the message of the gospel in the years since. He doesn't go and hogtie anybody and drag him to the wedding feast. But he goes out and he compels by his spirit. Oh, won't you come? Oh, the king wants you. You're invited. You can be a partaker of this. Won't you come? reasoning. Come, let us reason together, saith the Lord of hosts. Compelling and imploring and drawing and wooing people to come to the great banquet. Oh Lord, help us to make our calling and election sure. To make certain that I have not been making excuses in my life. That I have accepted this invitation. And that I am ready for that great supper. Jesus was rejected in his own country. Read about it in the fourth chapter of Luke. Luke chapter 4 and oh, they begin to question and ask in the 22nd verse, is not this Joseph's son? Oh, we know him. We know who this is. And he said, verily I say unto you, no prophet is accepted in his own country. But I tell you of a truth, many widows were in Israel in the days of Elias, when the heaven was shut up 3 years and 6 months, when great famine was throughout all the land. But unto none of them was Elias sent, save unto Sarepta, a city of Sidon, unto a woman that was a widow. And many lepers were in Israel at the time of Eliseus the prophet, and none of them were cleansed, save Naaman the Syrian. You realize what Jesus is saying here? There were many widows in the land of Israel. But Elijah was sent to a woman of Sidon, to a woman that wasn't of the nation of Israel. Now, it doesn't give a lot of detail of why that was. But the point that Jesus was making and what he was saying here was that no prophet is accepted of his own country. And so the Lord will send to those whose heart is crying out to him. It may not be of his own. It may not be of Israel. Oh, think of how the Lord, in his sovereignty and his mercy, looked down and saw that the men of Nineveh could be moved. They weren't of the Israel nation of Israel, but he saw something and he sent to them. Think about, well, it talks about Naaman as well. You know, the Lord, his eye is running to and fro through the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is perfect towards him. Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, or the poor in spirit. Oh, not as the Pharisees were. Well, you see who we are. I mean, in modern days, well, we're Church of God. Born and raised Church of God. My grandfather was a preacher. This is my lineage. No, there's more than that. Every one of us must be poor in spirit. Lord, I want what you've got. I'm longing for what you're offering. And Jesus heard. He heard that cry whenever there was an Ethiopian eunuch that was traveling across the desert and was reading in the book of Isaiah and thinking, I don't know what this means, but there was something in his heart that was longing to know, that was wanting the truth. And an angel of the Lord came to Philip and said, get you up. And Philip got up and went. And then the Spirit of the Lord said unto him, go join yourself to that chariot right there. Oh, I don't know what it does to you, but it speaks something to me that the ear of the Lord is open. He hears the cry of a heart that is crying out to him. Lord, I don't understand what this is. But Lord, my heart is longing for you. I'm longing for truth. I'm longing to have fellowship with you. And the Lord knows how to seek out and find those that long for him. So Lord, help us to be in that number of those that long for the Lord, of those that hunger and thirst after righteousness and truth. Think about a centurion named Cornelius that the Lord saw and heard the cry of a man who feared God. It didn't understand a whole lot, but the Lord sent unto him. And the Lord perfected that which he didn't understand. There was a man named Apollos who knew nothing but to preach by the baptism of John the Baptist, but he had a heart that was sincere and true. And the Lord saw that. The Lord heard that. And he went seeking out and he sent Aquila and Priscilla, who taught him more perfectly. Oh, and the ground was ripe for it. He was hungry for it to receive it. Think of I think of how Jesus seeks the outcast too. You know, there's a story about a man who was born blind, and Jesus healed him. And all to the great indignation of the religious leaders, "How dare you do something like that? We know that this man, Jesus, is a sinner," they said. Began to interrogate the man and began to interrogate the parents and wouldn't believe it, and they cast him out. "We don't want anything to do with you." They cast him. Well, temple worship was the way you worship the Lord. He had been cut off. He had been shut out. The door had been shut. And said when Jesus heard that, he went and sought that man. And he found him. And he began to speak to him. And that man's heart just cried out and accepted and embraced when he said, "I am he." Oh, I'm so thankful that the Lord knows how to seek out the honest, sincere, longing heart. The Lord knows how to set before us an open door that no man can shut. Folks, it is such a wonderful privilege to have an invitation to the great marriage supper of the Lamb. Oh, Lord, help us to cherish that, to hold on to that, to embrace that. Lord, I don't want to forfeit my right, to forfeit the invitation that you've given unto me. I think of one more maybe before we close. You remember one place in the fourth chapter of John, it said, and Jesus must needs go through Samaria. Must need. I'm not much one to believe in coincidence, and I don't think Jesus was either. He had a mission. He had a calling. There was a woman who was in trouble. There was a woman whose life was a mess. But there was something Jesus saw down inside of her that longed for living water. And so Jesus came right on time, at the right place, at the right time, and found this woman at the well. And what a beautiful, beautiful gospel message he preached to this woman that was right there. This woman who was broken. This woman whose life was a shambles. He preached the beautiful invitation. Oh, I've got water for you to drink that you'll never thirst again. Aren't you? Isn't it a wonderful Savior? A wonderful Lord. I am so thankful for His tender appeals, for His love, for His invitation, that the Lord stands at the door still today and knocks. God said in Isaiah, "The heaven is my throne, the earth is my footstool." He said, "Though to this man will I look, even to him that is humble, contrite, and trembleth at my word." You know, still today, the Lord hears and sees those whose heart is perfect towards Him. Folks, the day is approaching. It's getting closer by the day. Brother Rick often says, we're one day closer to eternity. One day closer to that great marriage supper. I want to encourage us with that. Do you feel the anticipation building in your heart? Folks, if not, you know the invitation and tender appeal is still there. Make your calling and election sure. Because you're invited. You can be a partaker of this. Oh, we can be in a place. We can be able to say as John the Revelator, whenever he heard the message, "Behold, I come quickly." What was his response? "Oh, no, Lord, no. But Lord, I didn't get that promotion I wanted. Lord, I was hoping." No, he said, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Lord, I'm ready for it. I'm longing for that day." May the Lord help us so that would be each one of our cry of our heart as well. May God bless each one of you. You pray for me. Amen.